I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I realized the importance of self-care. Whether that's a 5 kilometer run, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5 minute dip in the sea, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. This season, I've teamed up with Spotlight Oral Care. I know how important oral health is to our overall health and how we really need to look after our teeth and gums by using the best products. I've been using the Spotlight Oral Care Water Flosser. It removes bacteria from deep between the teeth and below the gum line, where traditional brushing and flossing cannot reach, while stimulating gums to improve circulation. Paired with my Sonic toothbrush, I love that it gives me a professional feel clean at home. Use discount code GOODGLOW25 at spotlightoralcare.com to get 25% off the entire range. Hello, I hope you are well today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Good Glow podcast. I am flying solo for a little bit of the podcast today. I will be joined by my friend Claire Moore in a few minutes. But first, I suppose I wanted to give you a few little life updates. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our surrogacy and tell you about what we've been working on over the last, 7 months at this point. So I'm so excited that the day has come that I can reveal what we've been working on over the last few months, and that is the Good Glow Wellness Program. And I suppose this idea for this course came after I was getting a lot of feedback from my podcast or Instagram messages or during my Q&A in my corporate talks. The same kind of questions were coming up all the time, like, how do I start? Or, you know, I really want to get into self-care, but I don't know where to begin, and I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so stressed, I don't know where to go. So I thought it would be a really nice idea to put everything into one place where people could go if they wanted a little bit of inspiration or a little bit of guidance or a little bit of a nudge in the right direction, that the Good Glow Wellness Program would be available, and people can kind of go on their journey or start their journey from there. Over the past few years, I suppose I've really woken up and I appreciate my life and I value my life and I have immense gratitude for my life. And I have gotten to this place with the help of my pillars of self-care, which I have based this course around. And we went through so many topics when I was putting this course together, but it came down to these pillars of self-care, and I listened to my heart about what they were. So they are habits and mindset, joy, self-worth, nourishment, and nature. So when you listen to the talks in this course, I hope there will be so many aha moments, because I really feel like sometimes you just need someone to show you the way or to enlighten you or to trigger something in you that makes you decide to change. And it was really important for me to have lots of aha moments in this program. For so many years, I didn't listen to my gut. I felt like the world was passing me by. I felt like I was watching people evolve and grow around me, and I felt absolutely stuck. And I've heard someone refer to it before as freeze mode. So, you know, I wasn't getting the promotion. I didn't feel like I was progressing in my life. I wasn't becoming this healthy and happy person I wanted to be. Every day was the same and nothing was changing. And I listened to something that Oprah said this week, and it really just clicked with me that that's exactly what it is. She said, life is about growth and change. And when you are no longer doing either, you have received your first whisper. And that's how I felt in my life. I felt like I was getting all of these whispers, but I didn't know where to turn. And those whispers got louder and louder and louder until I was forced to stop. But You know, I speak about so many things on my podcast, and I got such great feedback from my podcast with Jerry Hussey this season. So I think if you enjoyed that, you will get something from this course. I've also gotten amazing feedback from Wim Hof, Miriam Hussey, and even Alison Canavan all the way back in season one. I still get messages about that podcast. So this is what this course does. It's similar to those podcasts in that it explains self-care techniques that are actionable and easy to do. And that was so important for me. It was really important for me to team up with the right people. So I wanted absolute experts in their field, like the best of the best. And I feel so grateful that these women said yes when I asked them to be a part of this. So I have three psychologists: clinical psychologist Dr. Claire Campometu. I have Dr. Clodagh Campbell, the wellness psychologist, who I'm sure lots of you know and love, and chartered psychologist Alison Keating. I have Niamh Orbinski, a nutritionist and certified intuitive eating counselor, and nature therapy practitioner Sarah Howergan. It was really important for me to listen and learn from these women, and they have so much to say and so much knowledge to share. So I wanted to take you a little bit through the modules. So first of all, we're going to start with habits. So Alison Keating speaks to us about mindset and habits and how to create healthy habits, how to implement realistic change. It is such an interesting module. That's the key here, realistic change. Then we go into joy. So over the last few years, you know, I've really made it my mission to lean towards joy and try to have as many joyful moments in this beautiful life that I was given. So joy, Dr. Clodagh Campbell was the only person that I felt like I could turn to for joy, because she is one of the most joyful people. So she speaks about cultivating joy and how we can plan for joy and the actual health benefits of feeling joy and what it does for our overall health. So that's a fantastic week. Then we go into self-worth. This was so important to me because I think, you know, a few years ago, I really had low self-worth and I didn't feel like I had the confidence to put myself out there or exercise or change who I wanted to be because I was a little bit scared and I didn't have much confidence. So Dr. Claire Campometu comes in to talk to us about self-worth, how to build up our self-worth with really easy techniques, you know, understanding your core values and how important they are to us in staying well. Then we go into nourishment. And, you know, for me, when we talk about nutrition, it's so important for me to talk about nutrition on and off the plate. It's for me, it's not just about the food on my plate. It's about a lot of things around it. And this isn't kind of your typical week on nutrition, which is why I loved it so much. So Niamh Orbinski speaks about intuitive eating and how, you know, there's a lot of food guilt out there and we can maybe feel guilty about what we're eating and, you know, how to not feel like that anymore. Also how to enjoy our meals and how to connect with ourselves and really easy, healthy habits that we can take on to live a healthier and happier life. So, you know, this is such an important module for me. And I really felt like Niamh was absolutely the right person to come in and take that module for us. Then we have nature, the healing powers of nature, how to actually extract it when we're spending time in nature, you know, and what being outside and, you know, grounding ourselves or connecting with nature can actually do for our wellness. And there's science there to back it up. And Sarah Howergan is absolutely the perfect person to take us through nature. So if you enjoy my podcast, and I think you'll really enjoy the Q&As. So that's when I sit down with the experts and after their talks and I get into kind of the nitty gritty with them and we share experiences and have a bit of fun as well. And we have made these videos also available as audio files. So if you want to go out and listen outside on a walk or
while you're making the dinner, it was really important for me to, for those videos to also be available as audio files. So we also have meditations, visualizations, quizzes, practical work, additional recommended readings with video content and podcasts. So hours and hours of content there. And there'll also be a forum where we can all communicate with each other and catch up, and I'll be in there chatting a bit. So the course will be live and the content will be available from April 26th. But today we have launched an early bird sale. So that is available from now for a few weeks, the early bird sale, and the course is available at a discounted rate of €69. So for that, you're getting, you know, over 15 hours of content with 5 modules. So I really think this program will be for you if you're looking for a nudge in the right direction, or you want to kind of open your mind to new wellness techniques. So that is our new project. I am so excited about it. I've put my heart and soul into it over the last few months. And if you want to check out more information on that, you can check out thegoodglow.ie/course. So on to the surrogacy now, and I've been so excited to talk about this. It's a really exciting chapter in our lives and something we are so looking forward to. And a lot of the questions that I get, and I put a question box up on my Instagram last week, and I got lots of questions about surrogacy, and I really felt like I wanted to wait until my podcast to answer those questions, just because this feels like a really safe space for me, and the Good Glow community are so supportive and so loving and caring. So this is where I wanted to answer the questions about surrogacy. So one of the questions that kept coming up was, why are you doing surrogacy? And that is a perfectly valid question. So I just wanted to explain a little bit about how we got to this point. So when I was diagnosed, you go and you meet your oncologist and they give you your treatment plan. So the treatment plan for me was 5 months of chemotherapy, 4 weeks of radiotherapy. And then they said they wanted me to go on a drug called tamoxifen for up to 5 years. So when they said that, actually, it's funny now thinking back, I was the most upset about going on tamoxifen. I was more upset about that than chemotherapy, because I felt like the chemotherapy would just be a moment in time, but the tamoxifen just felt very long. And I also knew that you can't have a baby when you're on tamoxifen. They don't encourage you to conceive when you're on this drug. So when they said 5 years, I was trying to do the sums in my head of how old I would be then when I was coming off it. And I was asking all of these questions about it. And the doctor said to me, look, you know, we understand that you're a young lady and I'm sure you want to expand your family. So, you know, we'd consider taking you off this drug after 2 years. So I was like, okay, that's what we'll do then. I just need to take it for 2 years and then I can get on with my life and have another baby. So the 2 years passed. And I just really felt like I wasn't ready to come off the drug. And I really, because they originally told me they wanted me to stay on it for 5 years, that never left me. And I really want to stay on this drug for as long as I can. So I'm not willing to come off it. So that's when I started to hear about Rosanna Davison and her surrogacy. And by Rosanna sharing her story, I think it gave so many women hope. And I started to kind of really consider surrogacy and thought maybe this will be an option for us too. So I started looking into it. And the more I looked into it, the more I learned about it. And I just said to Jamie, like, this is something I feel really strongly that I think we should do. So we both decided that I would stay on tamoxifen and we would go down the surrogacy route. So a couple of weeks ago, you know, we've been looking into this for the last year. A couple of weeks ago, we signed a few documents and we're in the process of getting our embryos to the Ukraine. So it's really exciting. It's really real now. I suppose before it was a dream and now we really feel like we're in the process of it. Still such early days, and I'm sure I'm going to feel so many emotions that I'm not expecting. But a massive thank you to Rosanna for, I suppose, sharing her story and talking about surrogacy publicly because it was really the first time that I properly considered it. And since I shared my story and since I said, look, this is what we're doing, I have heard from so many people who are going down the surrogacy route in Ireland. And I know that it's not spoken about that much publicly on TV and radio. You don't hear many stories about it, but there are so many women out there, families out there that are doing this. And it's really exciting to hear from people and hear all the amazingly good stories about it and the good experiences people have had, and people who are just starting their journey, people who are sitting in their homes with their little babies and sending me messages. And I'm so excited to be a part of this community, and thank you so much to everyone who has reached out and supported me. It's meant so much, and I have cried down my phone reading some of the messages, kind of still in shock that this is the path that my life has taken and this is where we're going. But I'm very much in flow with the universe, and I really believe that this is the way it's meant to be, and that gives me great peace. Surrendering to everything that's happened and trusting in the universe and knowing that it's everything is taking me to a greater destination has really helped me with a lot of things we have faced over the past few years. So I'll make sure to keep you updated. I know that lots of people ask me if I'd be sharing our journey, and I will. I won't overshare, but I hope to be able to share some good news soon. So wish us luck and light a candle for us. But we're really excited and really grateful. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the TV and a pregnant lady came on the screen and I just burst out crying. And I suppose it kind of hit me that we're doing this. And I think it's really good to feel those emotions and not kind of push them away and acknowledge it and let it pass through. And it brings you to a place of great acceptance. But of course, it's sad. Of course, I'm sad that I won't get to experience pregnancy again, but I feel so lucky that I got to experience it once. So yeah, what will be will be. Another question that I wanted to just quickly answer on my podcast before we get to Claire is someone sent me a message saying, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? And for me, it is to trust your gut. I've trusted my gut every day since October 2017, and it's never steered me wrong. And I suppose just to explain that a little bit, I think before I got sick, I definitely ignored certain signs, certain feelings, the little voice in the back of my head. I pushed it away. You know, I'd look in the mirror and I just didn't feel like myself. And I kept saying, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. So when someone says, you know, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? It's to trust your gut. What is that little voice in the back of your head telling you today? Is it telling you that you need to slow down, or that you're overworked, or that something just doesn't feel right? Is it telling you to make that appointment you keep putting off? When is the last time you had a smear test? When is the last time you checked your breasts? I think it's really important to connect with that whisper and to really listen to what your heart and your soul is trying to tell you. And don't ignore it. Don't push it away, because it will never steer you wrong. So I'm going to take a little bit of a quick break now, and then we'll be back with Claire Moore. Spotlight Oral Care understands that as oral care is so personal, it can be difficult to know where to start. This is where their brand new online advisory service comes in. In 3 easy steps, you can chat with the Spotlight consultant who will listen, address, and guide you through your oral care queries, build a personalized plan just for you, and it's a completely free service. Check out spotlightoralcare.com for more. So on to my wonderful guest this week, who is Claire Moore, and I'm going to refresh your memory a little bit here. Claire Moore was on my podcast, I think, at least 2 seasons ago, maybe 3. She is from Northern Ireland. She moved to Hong Kong and met her gorgeous husband, Simon. And they were dating at the time, and she started to feel really, really unwell. And, you know, she did that thing where she tries to put her best foot forward and not admit that she was feeling terribly. But she finally went for a checkup, and they uncovered that she had a benign brain tumor. And she went through, you know, her treatment over there and her surgeries in Hong Kong. And she really felt like that was the place where she needed to be. And she got the best care there, which was amazing to hear. But in her recovery from her surgery, her brain collapsed. And she really went through a really tough time. But Claire is such a ray of positivity. She's been such an amazing support to me. There's always a message from Claire with words of encouragement. And I know so many of you who know her will know what I'm talking about. She's the happiest person and brings so much positivity to the world. So I'm so excited to catch up with her and hear her news. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was on Instagram and I saw that she had been taken by the Hong Kong authorities after Simon tested positive for COVID. And she was brought to a hospital for 2 weeks. Luckily, she didn't have to go to a COVID facility because she's a high risk pregnancy. But yeah, she's really been through it. And she's here today to give us a little short life update. And I'm so grateful to her for her time. Claire, welcome back. I'm so glad we've had this opportunity to catch up and hear your news.
I'm so pleased. It honestly has meant so much to me to not only be on the Giglo once, but to be back and catching up with you does feel really special.
Oh, I've been loving following everything that you've been going through over the last year and a bit since we had our chat on the Good Glow. And you have since became pregnant. You're still living in Hong Kong. Tell us about kind of your road to pregnancy. Did it come as a surprise? How are you doing now?
Well, I think we finished up our last episode saying you're going to get married and you can start a family. And literally, like, what, 4 weeks later, COVID hit. And everything that we had aligned or planned just kind of fell over, was the way I would describe it. We did get married. We had a 93-second ceremony in Hong Kong, which was our legal wedding. Before, sadly, as the case of hundreds or thousands of other people, obviously in Ireland, our wedding was cancelled. And just after we'd had our legal wedding, I kind of looked into the fertility part of life and took the very grown-up step to kind of have a look. And unfortunately, we were given the devastating news that my tumor was going to mean I probably was going to face either fertility issues or just be infertile, which I just wasn't expecting. Like, I'd spoken to you with so much excitement about, like, being a mom, and it's all I'd kind of wanted since I was a kid. And I didn't really acknowledge it for months, maybe, but, like, the kind of bottom just fell out of life for a little second. Because, like, I know some people are like, it shouldn't be the be all and the end all, and it doesn't define you as a woman. But it just was everything that I'd ever wanted.
Was that news to you? And everything you'd been through over the last couple of years, had fertility maybe not come up, or you didn't kind of go there?
I think a lot of the tumour, so the pituitary tumour, the prolactinoma that I have, and I suppose it was kind of detail that I don't focus on when it talks about my tumour, because it's so much more of a brain condition to me than it is kind of a hormone-based tumor. But prolactin is the hormone that your body produces when you're pregnant. That's what produces milk, that's what stops your period, things like that. And when I first had my tumor, I completely lost my cycle. I was producing breast milk. It was bizarre. Kind of when I talked to you about those physical changes that I went through, they were mental. And I kind of just assumed that things would be fine. My neurologist was like, no, you can be pregnant, it's fine. But then when I went back to the endocrinologist and he was like, oh no, things should be fine unless you're obviously trying to start a family. I was like, well, I am. He's like, okay, we probably need to have a bigger conversation about that. So a lot of it was kind of, we won't know until you try, which, okay, it's it kind of puts a bit of pressure on the situation. And, you know, like with the situation that you're going through at the moment and exploring all of these alternative methods, you know, it's not a case anymore in the world that you've got no options. So I just kind of thought, right, whatever will be, will be. We've said that for the past 2 years. So let's say it going forward. So it was August that I found out I was pregnant. Simon wouldn't believe me. I had to go and get one of the tests that said in written words, pregnant. After about 5 or 6 sticks of a cross, he's like, no, it's not going to be like this. I'm not doing this every month. And I was like, okay, I'll go and get one of the kind of the mansplaining ones that says pregnant. And then I don't know if you did this when you found out you're pregnant with Pia. I just sat on the sofa then. I was like, well, what do we do now? Do we call a doctor? Do I tell my mom? Is it real? So yeah, it was a funny week. And we told nobody and we just were very giddy ourselves and hugely grateful, but was aware that it might not be a straight line and didn't get too excited. And then unfortunately at week 7, I'd had a bleed and again, so grateful in Hong Kong. Simon could be with me for all of those appointments. I know in Ireland, the situation is so, so different. And, you know, there are just so many people who are so courageous and so open about their stories of miscarriage or kind of tragedy and pregnancy at the moment. And I just was like, the fact that I had someone to hold my hand. Now he's learned that he holds my hand and he says nothing now. He doesn't try and coach me through it. But we went in and, you know, they gave me a scan or whatever, and I was looking at the screen and it was just this big black hole. And I thought, sugar, you know, this is not to be. And the doctor was like, no, that's your bladder. I was like, oh, right, okay. And underneath was this tiny little flickering bean who has grown and grown and grown and grown some more. And I'm now at 37 weeks. So I didn't get excited, I think, until about 30 weeks. And I cannot tell you, like, the gratitude journey it's brought me on. I've always been a big believer of it. We've talked about it before, but every little kick, bump, twinge, dig in the ribs is just a little reminder that I've got a little pal on the way, which just seems mental to say out loud.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. And just when you speak about, like, the gratitude, like, I feel like I know exactly what you're talking about there. Tell us about quarantine and what, because I saw your post 2 weeks ago and I couldn't believe what I was reading. Tell us about what's been going on.
Obviously, COVID has affected everyone globally in so many different ways, and each country has a different reaction, each country has a different protocol, and we're so lucky in that Hong Kong's protocols have meant we haven't even hit 12,000 cases in total since the beginning of COVID. And you know, there's still deaths, but we've only had 200 deaths in this country, and so much of that comes from how strict and how quickly they act on cases. And we've had a year of having absolutely no impact. We've been on staycays, we've been to lunches, you know, we haven't had any travel, but we've had somewhat of an easy life. You know, we've been in the office, all of that kind of thing, all of the things that people struggle with, especially at home. And in Northern Ireland, you know, when I speak to family. But Simon went to a gym class and unfortunately there was an outbreak at his gym. And in Hong Kong, anyone who is COVID positive is immediately taken to a hospital. There's a fully custom built COVID hospital out by the airport here. And anyone who is considered a close contact is taken to a government quarantine facility, which ironically is in Disneyland. You drive through the Disneyland arch to get to quarantine.
Stop. Oh, I bet it's nothing like Disneyland once you drive under that arch.
And, you know, it is super basic and it's not luxurious in any way. It's not supposed to be, right? It's all about infection control. It's not about making sure people are comfortable, by my experience anyway. So we knew Simon was going to be going off to government quarantine. And
do you wait in your house? So do you go get the test, you're allowed to come home, wait for the results, and then you're contacted?
Correct. As soon as you're pinged as a close contact, you have to self-isolate. So Simon was self-isolating. We knew he was going to get a phone call to go to quarantine. And in the time that he was waiting to go to quarantine, he came back as COVID positive, which meant I was considered his close contact. So this is the first time that a kind of an expat outbreak has really happened in Hong Kong. And I just felt really close, and it just felt very, very, very overwhelming because it was so many people. It wasn't just like, oh my goodness, you know, Simon has COVID. It was 20 people have COVID and there's 400 people going off to government quarantine. So I would normally be pretty in control of my emotions. I normally am quite kind of, we've talked about it before when it comes to approaching situations, of being quite pragmatic and realistic. I could not keep my shit together, Georgie. I lost it. I just thought, I'm going to be in a quarantine facility where there's, you know, food delivered. I've been sent videos and pictures of the kind of facilities that you have. You're in a kind of 3 meter by 5 meter room for 14 days with no physical contact. I was really pregnant. I'm a high risk pregnancy. And I just thought, this can't happen, you know.
And are you allowed out of your room?
No.
Not for exercise or anything?
No exercise, no visits, no nothing. You can just by get some kind of food deliveries, but they have to be pre-approved and all this kind of stuff as well. And I'd spoken to my doctor and he had kind of just said, listen, I don't feel comfortable with you going to that facility, given the medical care that you might need. So they agreed to bring me to a hospital instead. So it was like a scene from E.T. These hazmat suits arrived with these big disinfectors, like up our stairwell in our apartment block, and walked us out into an ambulance with people like hanging out window. Georgia, it was actually comical when I think about it, and put us into an ambulance and kind of carted us off. And there's a huge thing in Hong Kong. It's, you know, there is a stigma attached to getting COVID because you have such an impact on community, which is, you know, again, how you've controlled it. But because of that, you could be sending colleagues or your friends or your friends with kids to quarantine. And I think Simon was just really conscious that he'd gone to the gym and I was now being carted off ambulance, sent to God knows where. So I, you know, again, we've talked about being aligned and things happening and things. And on my phone, a featured photo of the day popped up. I don't know if anyone loves that feature on the iPhone, but it was like, this day 2 years ago. And it was me sat in hospital with Simon when my brain had collapsed.
Oh my God.
And I hadn't even registered the date. So I kind of thought, right, I voluntarily didn't leave that room for 11 days, even though I could. This is obviously just what I need to be like, it will be fine. And it was for a few days. Simon and I were obviously completely separated. I was terrified because he had COVID. I wanted to make sure he was well, wanted to make sure I wasn't going to go into labor. That was Jody, obviously your guest last week, who's one of my best friends, was like, just calm down. You cannot go into labor. So, you know, it was 14 days. I was still working. I was trying to kind of be online and catch up with the team. And I did find myself kind of falling into that kind of toxic positivity. And I was like, this is fine. This is actually really enjoyable. This will be hilarious in a few weeks. And I thought I was fine until I got out and I went to meet two of my gorgeous pals, Laura, both called Laura. And the minute they asked me about it, I just broke down and obviously realized then at that point that I had been through something kind of quite traumatic in terms of an experience and not what you expect to go through in week 34 and 35 of a pregnancy. But, you know, you've definitely done this too over the past couple of months, of kind of realigning why is this and what is this and where am I now? And the lovely Clodagh was able to just put me right. She had shared something gorgeous that day and I just messaged her and said, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
So Clodagh is the wellness psychologist on Instagram. Yeah,
a beacon
brilliant.
Of hope for everyone at the moment. And was able to kind of say, right, that was really traumatic. That was really scary. It was the first time I felt really scared in a long time. And that's, it's not a comfortable feeling for me. I don't mind feeling uncomfortable, but I was really scared. And it was a strange thing to go through. Annoyingly, Simon got out before I did because he'd recovered. So when you get antibodies, you get to go home. Whereas if you're just in a close contact, you have to stay for the full 14 days. So he was out in restaurants and, you know, back to normal scheduling, putting on an Instagram. I was like, no, read the room. This is not okay. But it was just really nice, obviously, to be reunited. And I'd significantly grown in those 2 weeks. So for him to just kind of see me and the belly and be reunited was really lovely. And that was one of the takeaways from it, was that.
Yeah.
It was kind of that moment of being reunited and understanding that we'd both gotten through it together, but completely separately. It was quite nice.
Mm. And that feeling, I suppose, maybe it was one of the first times you'd felt it, of the three of you kind of being back together.
Really, it was. It was, and it was the first time I'd seen him in dad mode as well, where he was constantly kind of ringing the hospital and checking in on things, or if there was, you know, he wanted to know what was going on, and he was really advocating on my behalf, but more importantly on our child's behalf. So it was lovely to see, and obviously just really, really proud of him for doing that for us, and really grateful as well.
So you're on your maternity leave now. Things have settled a little bit, but you're moving house next week, so it's going to get a bit chaotic again.
I just want to nest, and I can't nest where I currently am. So from Monday onwards, I'll just be pottering, and I'm really excited.
And you've said that you're going to a happy place. You're going to the beach.
We are. We're going to be down beside the sea, back to actually where we first lived together, when we had first gotten together as well. So it's just feels really nice, and it just feels really calm there as well. And I think that's probably key for all of us at the moment. The next couple of weeks are going to be mad, even though I know I'm having a C-section. I don't have a date or anything, which still gives me that part of the excitement of everything new, the kind of unknown. But yeah, I think just to kind of go and again start a new chapter, which just feels really, really exciting.
And that is so, you know, the reason I started the Good Glow is to show people that life happens in chapters. Yeah. And you could be at a point of your life where you think, I'll never be happy again. I'll never be free again. I'll never laugh the same way again. Yeah. And you have been through it, Claire. You really have over the last few years. And here you are starting your maternity leave, moving down to the beach with a little baby on the way in a couple of weeks, a gorgeous husband, a beautiful life. And I'm just so happy for you, and you deserve it. You're such a gorgeous person. Are you excited for this next chapter?
So excited. I know it's cliched and cheesy, but it is all that I've ever wanted. And I've had so many moments where I've questioned it, I've doubted it, I've worried about it. I've had some really intrusive thoughts, and I've really had to work hard at that over the past couple of months to make sure that I am enjoying it for what it is and kind of feeling blessed in that moment and being present. So no, I am. I'm super, super excited. And there's so much of this and you and the Good Glow community and the people that I've met from, like, not just Ireland, all over the world, who've, like, there's a gorgeous girl, Emma Jane, who's Irish in Vietnam with the same tumor. This girl in Hong Kong with the same tumor. You know, it's to kind of reconcile all of that you feel with people who feel the same thing is huge. And that's only happened because of you and the Good Glow. So thank you so much.
Oh my God. Thank you. You're going to make me cry.
Because if you go, I'm gone.
Can I just ask you before you go, if you know, you said like 2 years ago that popped up, your brain had collapsed, you were in hospital, and I know that was a really dark time for you. If you could go back now, I love asking this question to people. If you could go back and sit on the bed with yourself and tell yourself something, what would it be?
Just keep going.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change a thing, because if I changed anything, it would change where I am now. And it's just keep going. As you said, things happen in chapters. You know, if you have the feeling that it's never going to be good, it's never going to be happy, it's never going to be safe, it will be. You just have to keep going.
Whoa, what a story. And I just wanted to say again, a massive thank you to Claire for coming back on the Good Glow today. She's been such a support over the last couple of years to me, and I'm so proud to call her a friend. So that's it. We have come to the end of this season of the Good Glow podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I felt really in flow this season and I really enjoyed every minute of it and I learned so much. So thank you so much for all the shares and all the support and all the love and telling your friends about my podcast. And hello to all my new listeners, because I know people are still only discovering podcasts every day. So it's been really a nice thing to come out of this lockdown for me, is getting to know some new listeners. So thank you so much for that. Like I said, really excited about the Good Glow Wellness Program. If you want to check out more, you can head over to thegoodglow.ie/course. And I'll talk to you very soon. Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, with thanks to Spotlight Oral Care. If you enjoyed this episode, please do leave me a review. You can check out more about my story over on thegoodglow.ie or follow me on Instagram, georgie.crawford.